Welcome. So finally, I guess all the Linux problems are, there are lots of Linux problems, but a couple of them actually we could deal with. But I think it's fine now, okay? Seems good. Okay. May I introduce to you Stefan Tiron, who is here from Romania, from Bucharest. And in fact, he is the first Romanian ever to speak at the CCC Congress. I actually like that, I have to. Because he is pretty much like a double agent, I would say. A double agent, a cyberpunk aficionado, he's an art curator. He's a pretty interesting, weird, wonderful guy with lots of contacts. If you want to do some interesting things in Romania, please contact Stefan Tiron. He's like the networker in Romania. So a wonderful, warm, and emotional welcome for Stefan Tiron.
Thank you, Johannes. Thank you for smuggling me here in. So I don't know, maybe it's not that important who I am or what my name is. It's just the fact that I'm coming from Romania. And that's a good sign. And I was... I guess, you know, we should start with beginnings. In 1989, at the time of the Romanian Revolution, I was 13 years old. And probably you know some things about it. Do you know about what happened in 1989 in Romania? Yeah. That's about it. It was the first or the only violent change in the East. It was a private company, even prior to that. I have to say that, just repeat this fact that it was the only dictatorial couple who was executed, not by the people, but at least by the sons of the people who were part of the army at that time. Some of the last words of Ceausescu and Elena were, why do you want to kill us, my sons? And I think you still remember the shocking photos that ran through the media at that time.
Kitkeres.
I think we have a problem with intrusion here.
A polgármesteri hivatal szociális osztályát ültettem. Egy felmérést kellene kitölteni.
Milyen fel?
Okay. Just have to. Okay. So at the time, I was 13 and going with my father on the main street in Bucharest when the revolution started. It was a demonstration for the dictator, for Ceausescu, that was happening a few dozen meters away from us in Piața Universității, the University Plaza. At the time, I was going with my father to search for a microscope. That was what I always wished for, a microscope. And in December, at that time, I was going with him to look for this instrument. But a few meters away, we could see a cloud in the back and hear shootings. People were running from that direction and crying, some of them. And everybody entered into the shops that were lining the main street and trying to hide the way inside the shops. My father wanted to go towards the cloud, but I sort of managed to pull him away and telling him, you know, maybe you should go home. He didn't go home. He just went to where his atelier was, which was near the TV station, which was a next center of conflict at that time, because there were three major points, let's say the TV station, the Piazza Universității, the center, and the Ministry of Defense. This was in Bucharest in December. And so when we started splitting, because I went home, he went to the TV station, some buses came by. We could see these buses, and out of it came Securitate or army guys who were cutting off the street so that people could not escape. But we managed to pull through. And this was that day that probably will stay with me. And I had to say this because it sort of brings about some of my background. But also, you should check out a film, which I think it's one of the best ever made about revolution on TV, which is a videogram of a revolution by Harun Faruqi. You should really, really check that out, because he sort of took all the reels, the news reels, everything that was running on TV at the time, and sort of analyzed that. All what went on was sort of analyzed by Harun Faruqi. Today, I'm going to talk about technology transfer, surveillance technology and traffic from the East to the West. This is a way of recognizing the importance and role of industrial espionage as a form of friendship between the East and the West after the Cold War and during the Cold War. After the December Revolution of 1989, Romania entered a new age of data sharing and high-level technological traffic and cooperation with the neighboring European countries. This paper is actually only a preamble to a handing over ceremony involving interested parties in the West and willing collaborators from the East. That's me. We do not want in any way to diminish the fact that this lecture is nothing but a simple formality. The main purpose being to implement and secure the application of one of our most important technological assets, Transylvanian optical rear view mirror technology that you can see here. As I will repeatedly point out to you, it is a safe, non-data retention surveillance technology. It is cheap, recyclable, and totally follows the regulations of the DIY ethos. The initiator of this technology transfer is my partner, Mr. Sebastian Big, from the region of Maramureș, in the northwestern part of the country, as I'm merely just acting as a representative of him here at the SIGINT conference. Currently, he has returned back to his native home area, which is a mining town in the northwest of the country. It is an old mining town, perhaps like more than 150 years old tradition of mining. Mr. Sebastian Big is an ecologically minded person, and he's urging the pervasive use of this nature-friendly technology, using only recyclable parts of cars or bicycles, obtained at the local flea market. In Romania, we feel we have gained a lot of precious knowledge about surveillance, internal security, safe data disposal, and data retention that we are willing to share in return for food and accommodation. Two aspects make the Romanian connection a neglected but important one. Foremost is the fact that Romania developed one of the most pervasive and efficient secret services and counter-espionage agencies in the modern world, as you just mentioned. The infamous Securitate, meaning security in Romania. Romania was also one of the most bugged countries in the world. The amount of telephone bugging is even now hard to assess. And we know that all of the telephone, postal, telegrammed, faxed messages going in and out of the country were intercepted and reported upon by the Securitate. Even now, for example, older generation friends or father of friends have this problem, maybe a psychological effect of the amount of bugging going on. They don't answer the telephone. They just ask their sons to answer the telephone. If the phone rings, they just tell them, you answer first and ask who's talking and listen if there is a click on the line. Private discussion inside houses and public spaces were also mic'd and under heavy surveillance. As an argument, we just have to consider the simple and very basic fact that in 1989, at the time of the Romanian Revolution, the Securitate had approximately 25,468 employees. And CIA just 18,000. Secondly, Romania has always enjoyed and enjoyed even now an incredible high crime rate, making it a living laboratory for homegrown crime-fighting technologies and methodologies. It is notorious for its e-crime, especially in the area of infiltrating eBay and provoking most of the online auction fraud in recent years. As we can see, there are also two major directions, basically, in Romanian surveillance technology. One is the state-operated top-down approach of the Securitate, and the other one we try to transfer and represent here is the local. The local one, it's grassroots, bottom-up approach. We have to also acknowledge the source of optical rear mirror surveillance technology. Transylvania was the developing ground and the source of this technology in Romania. Transylvania comprises the western part of Romania and has a very rich, diverse, and multicultural background. Hungarians, Germans, Jews, Serbians, and Romanians living for hundreds of years in a mostly harmonious way. This Transylvanian technology has spread to other places, such as the capital city of Bucharest, which lies to the south. With the help of newcomers settling in a typical story, one grandpa, while moving to Bucharest, started installing his rear view mirror surveillance system at his new house. That was one of the first things he did when he moved to the new big city. And this case is sort of repeated throughout the history. I must say I feel guilty for a lot of things. But I don't feel guilty for providing vital data to a potential enemy. To share such data with a potential enemy will transform him into a potential friend and collaborator for future deals. In this sense, I think that such atom spies like Klaus Fuchs, Maurice Cohen, Harry Gold, David Greenglass, Theodore Hall, Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, Saville Sachs, and Morton Sobel should be considered heroes of the Cold War. They certainly risk their lives to transfer such precious information to the East. And during a period of mistrust, opacity, and the firewall mentality, they were the ones to freely distribute atomic technology and are to be seen as important as their patriotic and ideologically pure counterparts at Los Alamos. One of the side effects of that was that Romania, under the former president, Nicolae Ceaușescu, was probably preparing a nuclear revolution of its own. Under the program, Atoms for Peace, Ceaușescu started building nuclear power plants that could have supplied energy for half of the country. If not for that unfortunate event in 1989. When the couple got shot. For me, it was much easier to come here. It was basically just the fault of one man that made me basically come here and facilitated this technological transfer. In the framework of a conference. Technological transfer from East to the West and vice versa comes as a welcome finale to the post-Cold War era. As signatories of a contract, because I'm here to find a partner and to sign a contract with him, we will engage ourselves to actively install in the near future this back-to-the-roots, traditional, nature-friendly, cheap, and efficient surveillance technology nearly everywhere in the West. We can install this technology everywhere, in your apartments, your houses, and your cities. We can offer you in-depth knowledge about how to install rear view window surveillance technology, also inside or outside high-rise buildings, situated on private or public space. I must say that we encounter the problem. There is a minor problem that, you know, if you look inside the mirror, you are seeing, you know, the enemy. But you also see yourself. So there is always, you know, it sort of lacks this panopticon element where, you know, the surveiller is not supposed to be seen. But we solved this problem. If you are interested in debugging the system, just talk with me later. I have been searching for a trustworthy partner in the West, and I think I found one. And I think I found one here. Please, Mr. Johannes, step in and let's help make a change in surveillance technology everywhere. Yes, we should memorize the moment. Okay. I just need from the public one pen, if you have one to spare, and which I can borrow and give back to you.
Ultra fine. Okay. Can I get it?
Yeah. So, yes, these are the plans.
Okay.
And take care.
Okay.
This actual object was given by President Comrade Kim Il Sen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just remember that this object was given by Kim Il Sen to my mother in 1987. So take care. Okay. I just have this small film for you now, which is sort of, you know, tries to get you involved and addicted to this new surveillance technology. Hope everything runs smooth.
Mit keres?
Pázmány Károly? A polgármesteri hivatal szociális osztályától jöttem. Egy felmérést kellene kitölteni.
Milyen?
I have to start it again because it sort of started in the middle. I don't know why.
Kit keres?
Pázmány Károly? A polgármesteri hivatal szociális osztályától jöttem. Egy felmérést kellene kitölteni.
Milyen felmérést?
Hogy mivel tölti a szabad idejét, mivel foglalkozik. A polgármester úr küldött ajándékcsomagot is.
Hát a polgármester urat mi lehet-e, hogy ajándékokat küld?
Holland segély. Órákat és narancsszörpöket kaptunk adományként. Neve?
Pázmány Károly Albert.
Lakcím?
Kolozsvár, Bástya utca 11, második emelet, hármas ajtó.
Személy számom?
Azt meg kell nézzem. Kávét nem kér? Nesz.
Köszönöm.
Thank you.
1-38-12-120-128.
Mi volt a foglalkozása?
Portás voltam a Continental szállóban. 31 évig voltam portás. Ott áll felakasztva a sapka, amit viseltem.
Gyermekei száma és tartózkodási helye.
Három. Szétszóródtak a világban. London, Milánó, Vancouver. Vancouverben most reggel van.
Milyen gyakran látogatják önt? Jól van? Jól érzi magát?
Az a dobozból két fehér.
I hope you got the message.
I was the receiver of this new or old technology from Romania. So could you tell us a little bit about the background and your colleague in Romania? Did he actually invent this protocol, or is it like a thing that just emerged over time, or what? Could you tell us a little bit more about the historical context of this system of using rear mirrors from cars to surveil?
Well, I think he had the brilliant idea to sell out this technology. This technology was always there in a form or another in the houses, the traditional houses in Romania. And he always wanted to use me as a mediator for this transfer.
Okay. So in the film, you see that it's a quite complex system of like you know, ropes connected to mirrors so you could flip them and...
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it can get quite complex. I don't think it's simple. It may look simple. It may look, you know, like the traditional old mirror-based technology coming down from the Greeks. But it's actually involves a lot of moving parts and can be quite adjustable as well.
What's the most complex of these systems you know in Romania or have heard about it in Romania?
Well,
how many mirrors does it involve?
This one, for example, is quite complex. And it's from Cluj, from Klausburg in Transylvania. And it involves, I don't know, like maybe dozens of mirrors.
That are connected through like strings?
Yeah.
Oh my.
You can imagine, I mean, just to have an idea, also in the pyramids, they use this sort of mirroring systems just to get the light inside the shafts. So it has different origins.
Well, my question would be, what are your export capabilities, so in respect to the flu markets in Romania and Transylvania? If we are interested here in the West to purchase technology from you.
Well, these capacities are basically unlimited. I don't want to, you know, like, it's, I don't think it's the place to exaggerate here. But I think that we have a lot of destroyed industries in Romania. Like basically the car industry is breaking down and all of these parts are readily available to everybody who is interested. Also, you know, like a lot of people are buying a lot of cars. For example, Bucharest apparently is one of the highest cities with cars per capita in the world. So everybody now owns a car and, you know, has a lot of mirrors that one can use. We don't have so many bicycles. This is a problem. It's actually something new.
So is the world economic crisis actually helping you supplying us with like car mirrors?
Definitely, and even the revolution, you know, one of the side effects was that a lot of the industry was sold. I mean, it was moved to the West, I mean, and other parts in the world. It sort of was immediately transferred I have to tell you that most of it was non-functional, but it still found interested parties in the West. They could do something with it. They could extract something out of it. And here I'm just giving you the whole, the way to do it. You know.
Well, obviously, of course, there's two more questions. One question would be, what is the estimated time frame from planning, reviewing an object, making plans and installation? So what's the total time frame from customer is interested until installation is done? And what's an estimated price for it? And of course, the question is, what's the website for this? What's your URL?
Well, a practical approach could be, would it be possible for you to construct a working system that we actually could install in Germany, for example, in December at a 26C3 in Berlin, a working system?
Or nearby in an apartment, maybe.
Or in an apartment somewhere there, yeah.
Of course. Going back to your question, till now, we didn't find any partner. But we found one, and this will actually be the ground, you know, the ground where everything will be proven.
I'll set up a PayPal account and we can talk about it.
We actually don't trust, you know, like online banking. Because there are so many infiltrators.
My grandmother has a really nice and interesting like wooden stable in Lower Austria. We can use the stable as like a deposit box for any kind of transfer. So it's
perfect.
How did you solve the problem that looking back through the mirrors might be in a security breach to this system?
I mean, you mentioned that you solved it.
I'm not allowed to tell you. It's a real, you know, like this is a real security breach, and it has to have some confidentiality to it. Also, I think it, you know, the amount of money and everything involved, the payment or any kind of payment or swap, you know, this is also confidential. I cannot, you know, tell you what it involves. Just, you know, I just mentioned, you know, like food and accommodation, which I think is just fair.
Okay.
So you as the main distributor, what's the website a customer, an interested customer can look into?
So first of all, I have to go through all the documents that this interesting person from, like Stefan Tiron, like actually I should not mention a name I know, but I have to go through documents, and then I think I'll have to find like a catchy phrase for it, because like rear, like Transylvanian rear mirror surveillance technology, that sounds a little bit, it's too complex. We have to find like a brandable, marketable slogan for the Western societies, I guess. Something like the Dracula system or something like that.
It's a good way to approach it. I was trying to be as descriptive as possible.
Okay. So, any more questions?
Okay. So I guess we'll look forward to have then a complete demonstration at the 2063 at end of the year.
And it would be interesting to see you.
And maybe you can also give us a more detailed overview of other related products in this area.
Certainly.
Oh, one more question.
Maybe a good marketing name would be Draculapanopticon. It's catchy.
That's really catchy. I didn't actually want it to you know to bring up Dracula, you know, in this you know equation, but it was there, you know.
I guess if I were to posit that your solution to the problem of the viewer being viewed by the viewee, it in some way deals with Vlad or Dracula. Would it be advisable to begin investing in copious amounts of Knoblauch? Yes, garlic.
Well, I've heard that if you're an employee in Germany or Austria at a big corporation or a company and you are eating garlic, this could become a severe problem. This is what I've heard. I don't know if it's true. You might, you know, like be kicked out or get you know, like your everything might break down.
At least to get it marketed.
Yes.
I think he's giving us a hint right there that the panopticon is a type of scope, and scope is a cure for what garlic causes, which is halitosis. And so there's some connection between... I'm not sure.
I think we have to end here because Mr. Stefan Thiron has a tight schedule. And if you want to get in contact with him, please use the next 5 or 10 minutes to talk to him in private or talk to me, no problem. But soon he will be on the main stage over there as a Romanian agent. So thanks a lot, Stefan Thiron. A big applause.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.